Praise the Lord, as we are now into the last message of the workshop, I invite you to relax and listen attentively. I bind all mind wandering. I bind all mind control, occult mind control. I bind every spirit that would put us to sleep. I bind passivity, slothfulness, and laziness. I bind every demon that would of witchcraft, whatever evil spirit that would cause us to be able to focus. We bind alcoholic patterns in Jesus Christ's name. We just loosen to us the mind of Christ, power, love, and a sound mind, the seven spirits of God as well. In Jesus' name, and everyone said? Amen. 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 You probably don't feel a thing, but the enemy did. And you'll listen better. Jesus said some of the most important words in Luke: be careful how you listen. Take heed how you listen. My heart goes out to you if you've been divorced, because I know it's a tough and very painful time in anyone's life. And the vast majority of people who have been divorced and who choose it see it as a very foolish thing and a very selfish thing and a very costly thing. Listen to the amounts it cost for popular people to divorce. Michael Jordan divorced his marriage. In fact, these are the 10 most expensive divorces in American history. It cost Michael Jordan $150 million in assets. Anybody here write a check for that? I don't think so. I don't think anybody aggregate has made $150 million so far in their lifetimes. That's what he wrote for his divorce check. Can you imagine the price for that separation? Singer Neil Diamond, whose 1995 divorce from Marsha Murphy cost him an estimated $150 million as well. Movie director Steven Spielberg, who paid Amy Irving an estimated $100 million in 1989. And that was half of what he had in his assets at that time. Harrison Ford paid Melissa Matheson $85 million. Kevin Costner and Cindy Silver paid Kevin coughed up $80 million. Paul McCartney and Heather Mills, who just had a nasty separation and divorce, cost Paul $60 million. Director James Cameron and Linda Hamilton, $50 million. Actor Michael Douglas and Deandra Douglas, $45 million in two mansions. Gee, I wonder where he's living. Lionel Richie and Diane Richie, $20 million. Mick Jagger and Jerry Hall, $15 to $25 million settlement. How foolish. How stupid. How dumb. And that's what we want to talk about this morning as we look in God's Word, because we want to talk about how can we break the curse of the fool so we don't continue to make these foolish, dumb, stupid choices. I remember reading... Just have your Bibles on your laps. I remember reading the first week of June, June 7th, Thursday, how there were, listen to this, sheep, listen. There were two drownings in Durham, North Carolina. One was Eddie Allen, a 16-year-old from Durham, and he drowned after jumping into a lake to get his cell phone. How many have lost a cell phone because of moisture, dropping it in, fell out of your car and it rained that night or something? Anybody here ever Cell phones don't work once they've been wet. What in the world was he jumping in for? The thing was broken. And he drowned. They said he tried to, you know, swim toward an area, a boating ramp area, but it was too much algae and he couldn't grab on and he just lost his fight. And he drowned for a cell phone. That very same day, there was a 41-year-old man in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, who got stuck in a storm sewer trying to retrieve a cell phone. The man weighed more than 300 pounds and was wedged with his head and shoulders underwater in a vertical storm drain in front of his home. They did everything they could to try to pull him out. They even got Vaseline. It didn't work. Can you imagine? For a cell phone. For a cell phone, his life is ended. In a storm sewer. How many can look back at their lives right now and honestly say, by raise of hand, what a foolish decision I made? Now, hopefully it's not coming to the workshop, but yeah. What a dumb decision that was. Or, since I'm a public speaker, I'm a communicator, I come out with some things sometimes that are just like, how stupid. Why did I say that, you know? It's like, oh, my word, I can't believe I said that. Thank you for not saying amen. Suddenly they wake up. Amen. Maybe you made a car purchase and you thought, well, $25,000 isn't too bad for that car, and I think I can swing the monthly payments if I extend it for, 10 years. I'm only 85. I'll be here another 10 years probably. Maybe you made a dating choice and the guy ended up using you and spitting you out after telling you how much he loved you. And you look back and you say, that was a stupid choice. That was really dumb. Or the girl. Guys get jilted. Maybe you made a career move and a job change, and all of a sudden you realized, man, this isn't working out. I should have stuck. Maybe if I prayed about it first, that would have been a good idea. Instead of making the choice and then asking God to bless it. Maybe you bought a house that has a few too many rooms and they're all vacant because you couldn't afford to buy the furniture to furnish it. And, you look back and you say, that was dumb. If you're single, let me warn you that, is my wife here? No. That marriage can get very interesting. Thank you for listening, Ike. Ike's on tape delay. He's on the radio, 7 seconds they have to wait before it actually comes on the air in case anybody says something like me, stupid. That's what I need. So you can just see my lips moving and you'll think it's a Japanese movie. But you will not hear anything until, just in case I got to take something out real quick. Like that part right there, you know? But stay single, because as one of my seminary profs used to put it, marriage are like flies on a glass window in a barn. Some flies are wanting to get in and some flies are wanting to get out. And that's why you had better make the right choice, which I believe I did, in terms of your marriage partner, because you cannot undo and reverse it once you've done it. Because your only way to get rid of them is sin. It's called divorce. God hates it. But that's just an example of foolish choices that we make. You know, and I'm convinced Satan and his demons want us to continue to make foolish choices. How many are fed up with the foolish choices? Yeah, I've had enough. I've done enough stupid things in my life. I want out of this. And I hope you do too. And that's what I'm talking. How do we break it? Not how do we just identify and say, oh, well, that's life. What are you going to do? Better in heaven. No, but have heaven start here. Amen? Begin now. And let's break the curse of the fool in our lives. And by the way, this is a kind of curse that needs to be broken daily, sometimes hourly. Why do you say that, Pastor John? Well, think about it. Look up your sheet. Every sin that you commit is a foolish choice. Agree? Agree? Yeah. Every sin that I commit is a foolish choice. And often we sin, how many times during the day? Don't answer. I really don't want to know. But if you think of sin not as robbing a bank or, you know, pillaging a village, but what Jesus says where adultery begins, and that's with lust, well, how many times you lust during the day? Thank you for not answering that one, too. How many times do you hate someone? Especially when you're coming down the highway, going the speed limit, and some slowpoke pulls out in front of you and doesn't even yield. Do you pray for their salvation? Especially if they're coming off of Route 127 and going on to Route 22. I'll never forget one of my Bible college professors said he was traveling to speak in a church, and he was late. And he said he was, you know, sure enough, whenever you're late, have you noticed? You always get, you know, Mrs. Codger or Mr. Codger in front of you. So he's laying on the horn. Right? And the guy he pulls to the left a little bit and kind of sees if anybody's coming, and it's a free passing zone. The guy pulls to the left so he can't pass him. Maybe not intentionally, but just, you know, maybe he looked in the rearview mirror and he kind of wandered a little bit. And he did that for miles and miles. Well, finally, this, you know, professor had enough, and because he was late to speak. And sure enough, passes him in a no passing zone. So this is ridiculous. I'm going to be really, really late. And sure enough, gets in, zooms over the speed limit, pulls in the church parking lot. Jumps out of his car, goes in, apologizes to the pastor and says, hey, I'm sorry I'm late, you know, forgive me, and you know, but I'll be glad to, you know, just come in and just tell me where to sit and I'll be ready for you. He gets up there on the platform, gets ready to speak, and guess who walks in? The person he passed. How embarrassing. What a foolish choice. What a dumb thing. And that's why it's always good to be obedient at all times, and to be wise. Before we go on, I want to tell you that there are four books in the Old Testament that comprise wisdom books. Anybody know what they are? Just yell them at me. Excellent. Thank you. What else? Thank you. And one more. It's the oldest book in the Old Testament. Thank you. Job. Those are the four wisdom books in the Old Testament. And the Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah. It's kind of like chokmah. And it means wisdom. Well, let's define wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, I kind of gave you one definition at the beginning of the workshop. But it really is also, here are a couple of others, the right use of knowledge. The right use of knowledge. Just because you know a lot doesn't mean you have wisdom. There are plenty of elderly people who I know who, you know, if they were dressed according to the wisdom, they'd be walking around in rubber pants. Chronology does not mean equal wisdom. The right use of knowledge. Or, here's another definition, the ability to exercise sound judgment in avoiding evil and choosing good. The ability to exercise sound judgment in avoiding staying away from sin, away from evil, or in choosing good. A Bible college professor of mine, Alan, what should he have done? Left earlier. Left earlier. Boy, you're Alan Hainsworth and President Bush today. But right. Stanley Wright. Left earlier. Patience. Right? Patience. Just learn the lessons. Many of the verses we're going to look at are in the key book of Proverbs, and for years I've recommended people that to do a proverb a day. Remember the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? And really, there's some good stuff in apples. I mean, there really is, that really is a true statement. Very healthy for you. But I want to say a proverb a day keeps the devil away. Do a chapter of Proverbs every day and apply it. So you can read all you want, but unless you're, you know, unless it gets down to where the rubber meets the road, it's no good. So apply it. Proverbs is a wisdom book. You were exactly right, and it's really a book of moral and ethical instruction. It contains teachings in how to lead a wise, godly lifestyle, and how to avoid the pitfalls of unwise, ungodly, foolish conduct that wastes your time. See, the devil's interested in you wasting your life. You do know that, right? Never say, I'm just here to kill time. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, to waste your life. I remember the guy coming out of the convenience store. He had a T-shirt on, Magdalene, and he had a big old beer belly. You ever seen these guys? And he said, this is what the T-shirt read. He said, if I had known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Now, someone here is going to go out and buy that thing and come back to the next workshop. I know you guys. Turn to Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6. As we look at the Word of God this morning, Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6. Maybe these are a couple of verses you've never seen before. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6. The word Deuteronomy, Deutero is second, Namas is law, so the second giving of the Mosaic law. And look at verses 5 and 6 with the pastor. Before we get there, let's quote Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the human heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is the word of God. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments. This is Moses talking. Just as Yahweh, my God, commanded me that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them. That is the commandments. For that is your, underline that, please, wisdom. Your wisdom. And your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation, and here's what I want you to underline, is a wise nation and an understanding people. You want to be a wise person? Commit yourself to obeying God's word. God wants his people to be looked at by the world, and of course his people today is the church, not the Jews, right? Anybody involved in Judaism is going to hell, just like those involved in Islam. My grandfather was brought up an Orthodox Jew. My heart goes out to them. I love the Jewish people because I'm part Jewish. But they're going to hell. because they rejected their Messiah, the only hope to heaven. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. But God wanted his people back then, and he wants the church now to be a wise and understanding people. Now, the opposite of a person who is wise is a, say it with me, a fool. In short, let's find out, sometimes it's good to determine what something is by what it, looking at what it isn't. And that's where we're heading to in the next few minutes that we have left. What do fools do? So if you want to be a fool, do this. All right? Let's cut to the chase. If you want to be a fool, then do this. If you don't, and you want the curse of the fool to come on you and your generational lines, do this. Do these things. If you want to be a person of wisdom, then do the opposite of what fools do. The Hebrew word for, anybody remember the Hebrew for the wisdom literature? Chokmah? A wise person is a hakam. Say that with me. Hakam. Yeah. Now, try not to spit on someone the next time you do it. Hakam. There we go. That's a wise person. And that it has an opposite Hebrew counterpart, and that's the fool or the wicked person who stubbornly refuses counsel and depends on their own understanding. Remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? I think Art brought it up. Proverbs 3, 5 says what? But before that, no, trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, that's what's got you into trouble to begin with. The Hebrew for the fool, the wicked person who stubbornly refuses counsel and depends on their own understanding, is, it's kind of hard to pronounce, it's avril. Avril. Sounds like you have a speech impediment. Avril. By the way, Barbara, why is it that English people pronounce their R's so differently? Really, really. They go, instead of really, it's really. Oh, you don't, but you're an exception. Thank you. Thank you. You see me rolling my eyes? Why did I ask that question? Yeah, but it's avwheel, avwheel, avwheel. Or the or foolishness, kind of an adjective, foolishness or stupidity is avwalat, avwalat, avwalat. It means a foolish, stupid or senseless person. By the way, do you know of anybody? Don't answer that with any old thing out loud. You know, especially if your husband's sitting next to you. You'll get a rib, an elbow in your rib cage. Lesson number one for today. These are things you can take home with you. Just brief lessons we've concluded based on what we've seen so far. Wisdom and foolishness are polar opposites. You know, like North Pole to South Pole? Wisdom and foolishness are polar opposites, like the North Pole to the South Pole. That's the first lesson. So every decision you're going to make tomorrow morning is either going to be under the category of what? Wise, right? Hakam, or a real, a fool. Every decision you're going to make this week can fall into those one or two categories. Now, let's check out a few Psalms. Psalm 14:1. We call it National Atheist Day, which is, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what Psalm 14:1 says. April Fool's Day is National Atheist Day. Someone tells you, I don't believe in God, say, oh, hello, fool. Because only fools deny God's existence. And by the way, there's a different Hebrew word here for fool. It's Nabal, or remember Nabal in the Old Testament, who married to Abigail? Nabal. And it really has a little slightly different nuance. It means disrespectful, proud, and immoral person as well. So not only is a fool someone who's senseless and stupid, but someone who is also proud, disrespectful, and sexually immoral. That's a fool. I wonder how many people last night were hooking up in this bar restaurant over here. The reason I know is because you can see cars still parked here in the morning, and I look inside and I don't see anybody in there. So somebody went home with somebody. Bible says fool. Nabal. Fool. Turn to Psalm 92 and verse 5. Psalm 92, and then we'll jump over to Proverbs. Psalm 92 and verse 5. It's good to hear the word of God turning. Psalm 92, 5. By the way, mark up your Bibles. I hope you go through a Bible every 2 years. Rip pages, creases, notes, tons of notes. And I hope that when you get buried, they bury you with all the Bibles you've used. Psalm 92, verse 5. The psalmist says, How great are thy works, O Yahweh. He's praising God, praising the Lord. How great are thy works, O Yahweh. Thy thoughts are very deep. Look at the next verse. A senseless man, a fool, has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. So when you're out at night looking up at the stars and you're praising, I have a, when I'm riding down the road, I have glory fits. You know what a glory fit is? Some of my people know what that means. My wife knows what it means. I'll just roll down the window and I'll just say, glory! Because I just had this, like, I looked at something and I said, wow, God, you are amazing. And I just have to tell somebody. So I just yell it to everybody on the street. They look back and I'm like, this guy's crazy. I don't care. I carry my Jack Russell Terrier rides with me to church and back. In fact, he likes church more than my boys do. And he hears me yell glory, and boy, does he look at me like, should I be driving or you? And I was like, what are you doing? I don't care who hears me. I just yell out glory. Now, some of you are going to copy, and that's good, this week. No, don't do it when there's a policeman going by. Right? Glory! And he turns around and follows you. You know, that's not wise, okay? But just, if you have a glory fit like I do, just yell. Why? Because fools don't comprehend how great, how wonderful God is. Isn't that amazing? Verse 6. Fools don't care about God or the wonders of his creation. They just conduct themselves like a wild animal. They think life is all about them. They're lacking in wisdom and understanding. They don't understand. I looked up this this word in Hebrew. This is another, you know, rare word. And fool or stupid used here is kaseel. Say that with me, kaseel. Kaseel, kind of like a sea lion. Look at the seal, honey. The seal, kaseel, right? Kaseel. It's interesting, the root word for kaseel is kasal, and it literally means to be fat. You say, well, what does that mean? When you look at someone who has a weight problem, do they look like they've got their act together? Like they're wise, like they're taking good care of the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and their physical bodies. You know, you're only given once. You can't go back, trade it in, and get another one. You know, they do have false teeth, but you know, they're not as good as your own choppers. So I thought it interesting that the Hebrew mindset was that someone who's fat is also someone who is fool or stupid. They don't have understanding. They don't understand these things, these basic things. You only have one body per person. And you wear that thing out, and you're in trouble. And I'm not trying to offend anybody or demean anybody who has a weight problem. We all battle weight, right? But, or at least most of us do, except Jamie Chow and Mike Rocca. All right, you can stop hating them. And everybody's got a weight problem, and the older you get, the more of a problem it becomes. So, but remember, next time you reach for the second half gallon of ice cream, just say, it's probably a Casal. That's a foolish thing to do. I don't want to do that. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 7. Let's run over to Proverbs. Look at a few verses there. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs 7. By the way, today's date is the 24th. So what proverb would you read today? There you go. 31 Proverbs, one a day. Look at Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7. Hang in there with me. Verse 6. For at the window of my house, of course, he's talking, the dad's giving instruction to his sons regarding, don't be a whoremonger, looking for a whore. For at the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice, that's through the fence, and I saw among the simple, and I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense. He's a fool. He has no understanding. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. What's he doing in the neighborhood of a whore? Anybody know? Anybody have a guess? And look when he's there, in the twilight, in the evening. In the middle of the night. What's he doing wandering around in a whore's neighborhood at midnight? See, if we have problems with our computers at night, what do? We make sure that the computer is in an area of the house that no one else, that you're not alone with. And if you're married, follow your wife to bed. Don't stay up late. And say, I'll be right up, honey. Famous last words. Jesus says, if your computer offends you, cut it off. No, wait a minute, he didn't have computers. You get the point. He said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. And basically, it was his hyperbole, exaggeration for the sake of emphasis. And he was saying, basically, if you got a problem in an area, don't go. If you got a problem with whores because you're a whoremonger, don't walk around the whore's neighborhoods. Kind of like, gee, it's a nice neighborhood. Pretty. waiting for the temptation. You don't do that. If you have a problem with alcohol, you don't go in a bar and order a ginger ale. You stay out of the bars. In fact, you don't even go down the street where the bars are. If you have a problem with porn, you don't go down to where there's an adult bookstore. Because you're too old for a computer. So you visit the adult bookstores. You don't go down there. What's he doing down there? That's the question I want to know. While God's wisdom keeps us from the sluts, foolishness takes you to the slut. Yeah. And that's what Britney Spears is. She's a slut in training. Well, I think she's graduated. But notice how naivete and simpleton mindsets take him the first few steps into trouble. And for us now, again, it's the internet. There are 400 million porn sites on the internet now. 400 million porn sites. And, we naively Google into areas and begin to take those first steps into temptation because all of a sudden, bang, we're in. And as I said, Jesus warns us to cut it off. Pull the plug, put the computer in the closet and say, I can't handle it. I need accountability. I need to talk to somebody who can help me. Once and for all, I want to deal with masturbation, a death blow. phone sex, whatever you have a problem with, deal with it. Don't stay up late at night. And don't, whatever you do, don't have a computer in your bedroom. Have it somewhere where anybody can walk in and keep an eye on you. That's just common sense, biblical understanding. Hebrews says he's out in the center of the night, in the darkness. Troubles around the corner. Lesson number two, choose wisdom. Be wise by not taking those first steps of a fool and then stumbling into sin. Choose wisdom. Be wise. Be, you know, hakam, chokmah, hakam. Be wise by not taking those first steps of foolishness that will stumble you into sin. Robert Alden says in his book, Proverbs, Ancient Book on Timeless Advice, I like this quote. He says, if you want to avoid the devil, stay away from his neighborhood. I like the old Hungarian proverb. He who sits at the table with the devil had better have a long fork. And you know, in my mind, I picture this huge fork about this long, you know. But, you know, I don't even sit at the table with the devil. Just push away and say, nah, not interested. Robert Alden continues, not only if you want to avoid the devil, stay away from his neighborhood, if you suspect you might be vulnerable to a specific sin, take steps to avoid it. Verses 21 to 23, with her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly he follows her right into her bedroom. As an ox to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a, underline it, fool. Hello, fool. Until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his very life. He falls for her smooth, seductive talk. He follows her right into the house, right into her bedroom, right onto the bed. And just like a dumb ox who's stupidly going to the slaughterhouse, or like a captured prisoner taken in chains and handcuffs to jail with no way to get loose. I was talking to Paul Rogers, who has shot with bow and arrow, and I remember talking also in Texas with a hunter who shot elk with bow and arrow. And these animals don't know what hit them. And they feel some pain all of a sudden, and the arrow is so thin and so sharp, it just slices right through and hits their heart, and their heart's pumping, and they just I felt something, and they start going, and all of a sudden within, 10 feet, they just collapse. They bled to death in seconds. Massive internal hemorrhaging. I remember this guy who shot the elk said, he was standing in front of me, I forget how many yards away, and he just, released the arrow, and he says it went right up his back end. Right up his large intestine, sailed right into his heart. Didn't even know what hit him. And that's exactly the imagery used here. His heart was pumping, and it was pumping all the blood out. And that's the way the devil gets us. I remember reading many years ago about the way the Alaskans, the Eskimos, the Alaskans, how they kill wolves? Now, wolves are good. Obviously, if it's between you and starvation for your family, you're going to kill the wolf. But what they do is they would, during the day, when some of the snow would melt and form water puddles, they would take a very sharp rock, the Eskimos, and they would plant it in the water, and it would point up, straight up, and they'd put a small piece of whale blubber on it, and so the wolf would come over and start eating the whale blubber, and he'd start licking, and every lick he'd slice his tongue, and pretty soon he liked it. He was drinking his own blood. and he bled to death and collapsed. People, that's really what the devil's, what the demons are doing to us when we're doing that. We're licking our own blood, not knowing that we're killing ourselves with sin. It's a gross image, but it hits home in my mind. When an arrow goes through your liver, you might as well start counting your minutes. Look at your watch and just say 10, 9, 8, 7, because it's going to cost you your life. Turn to Genesis 39. I want to look at someone who was a very wise young man. You know, when you look at all the Hollywood whoremongers, some of them are clean, but most of them aren't. Everybody know what a Hollywood whoremonger is? And you look at these guys. I feel pretty secure with my wife, so I asked her the other day. I said, "Honey, who do you think would be a good-looking guy in Hollywood?" And she says, "George Clooney." And here I thought she would say me. She says, "George Clooney." Who's George Clooney? Some of you women are saying, "You don't know about George Clooney?" No. I mean, I've seen his picture, but all right, he's a good-looking guy. But George Clooney is polar opposite of a man named Joseph. Because Joseph was a good-looking Hebrew, which is why Potiphar's wife wanted him bad. Look what happens in Genesis 39. Look at verse 6. So he left everything he owned. This is Potiphar. In Joseph's charge. And with him around, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. He totally trusted this Hebrew slave, former Hebrew slave, Joseph. Now Joseph was, what does it say? What does it say about Joseph? Yeah. He was a George Clooney. A George Clooney Jew. And it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with sexual desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." What would you do if you were Joseph? You know, maybe God's rewarding me. Maybe this is a gift. You know, I haven't been with a woman for, I don't even have a girlfriend. And, you know, I used to tend sheep, and they get pretty old. I mean, I tell them they're nice-looking sheep, but they don't talk back to me. And, you know, this is, you know, and I'm a young man. I imagine Joseph could have done a lot in terms of rationalizing his sin. You know what happens. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me around, my master, your husband, by the way, does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. And there's no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you." Underline that. "Because you are his wife." And then I want you to circle this entire next sentence. "How then could I do this great evil and sin against Potiphar?" What are you shaking your hands for? Oh, your Bible says something different? "How could I do this great evil?" Notice what he calls it, a great evil. This man had character. He was so polar opposite of George Clooney, it's not funny. I imagine George Clooney has betted everyone that he's met. They say Grace Kelly betted every leading man that she had in her movies. She was a slut. She was good looking, but she knew it. And that's the problem. You know, they read their own press reports. They're cursed with good looks. Praise God, you're ugly. No. Odd Job's really going to get me better. I did not mean it that way. Oh, there's a foolish statement I wish I could take back. It's on tape. Do not buy this message. It will self-destruct in 5 seconds. If smoke starts coming out of the top of it, blame me. I meant to say it's a conditional statement. If you are look challenged... Rejoice. Don't be mad. Don't say, why couldn't I be a... Listen, if you were George Clooney, guys, you would have... You'd be an idiot. You'd be a whoremonger. And gals, if you... Well, you know where I'm headed with that one. I'm not going to go any further. My wife has her shoe off, and she's coming up to the pulpit. But I just want to tell you that... Sheep. Look at Joseph's response. What a man of God. What a man of God. What a wise man. And what you know what happened. He ran, she grabbed his coat and said, Joseph, get back here. And she's got the evidence and then screams rape. And the guy ends up 2.5 years in jail, Mr. President. In jail. Oh, not Mr. President, Mr. Bush. Can you imagine in jail for 2.5 years rotting? Like a convicted criminal, and he didn't even do anything wrong. And you know what? I challenge you. Take my book and show me where you see one complaint from Joseph. One complaint. He trusted Yahweh with all his heart. And he didn't say, God, you screwed up this time. Here I was righteous for you, and I was the best I could be, and you just messed up, and I'm never going to serve you again. Did he say that? No. And people... He didn't have this book. He had no Bible. He was the Bible at that. All he had was some oral tradition. Nothing was inscribed. This was before Moses, people. Boy, I can't wait to run up to him and say, Joseph, you inspired me so much. You, what a model you were. In fact, there's a lot of things where he was just like Jesus. Compare it. Remember what I said yesterday about Hebrew parallelisms? Compare Joseph with Jesus, and you see the same thing. A lot of areas. I don't have time to go into that. That's another message. Lesson 3. Go after your demons. Go after the demons in your liver as they enter through the curse of the fool because of lust and sexual sin. What? My liver? I don't have any liver problems. It says there are demons. Remember what we read before? There are demons that will come into your liver to give you liver problems. Darts in your liver. That's what they're called. Darts in your liver. I'm obviously playing catch up here. The end of the verse also attack chambers of death. Spirits of death come into us when we look at porn and other things. Chambers of death, because we're going after that which leads to death. Chambers of death. It's a spirit, chambers of death. Spirits of death. Let's run into Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Get back into Proverbs a few verses, and then I'll finish. Proverbs 10. Verses 8 and 10. Who's the wise person? The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be thrown down. Or someone who is foolish with the mouth. It's like Pastor Worley said yesterday morning in the video. If you just shut up and be quiet, people would think you're smart and wise. But the moment some of us open our mouths, all doubt is gone. Well, I talk to some people, and it's like, how in the world does their wife handle them? I couldn't. She needs a medal. I couldn't stay with this guy for two hours. And by the way, it's nobody here. Some of you are wondering, is it me? No. But there are some people I've met in the past, it's like, oh my Lord, they got to live with themselves. Plus, they have to live with their spouse. That person needs a medal. Babbling fool. Look at verse 10. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be thrown down. What's he saying will characterize us when we shift into the foolish gear? Hey, Jamie, does your car have a foolish gear? When you shift into the foolish gear, we talk too much and don't listen. We're unteachable and unwilling to learn from those in authority that God has put over us. So what would you go after? I'd go after unteachable spirits. I'd go after rebellion. I'd go after hatred of authority. I'd go after anxious, impatience, unwilling to listen, blocked listening, blocked hearing. These are all demons I'd go after if I were you. Me, you know, especially if someone tells you to do something, your first thing is you bristle like a porcupine. Someone sent me a picture on Friday of a pit bull that had a fight with a porcupine. Guess who lost? If you want the picture, I will email it to you. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't even see the pit bull's face. He had 356 quills pulled out of him. They had to put him under. The vet had to sedate him to get his quills out. Boy, I guess the last thing he bit into. You know, they say the pit bulls pound per square inch, their mouths are they're square and they just don't let go. And it's incredible. But I bet that's the last porcupine he eats. No more porky burgers for him. People, you couldn't even see his face. He was covered with, his head was one big quill. But you know, there are people just like that. The curse of the fool. They're impatient. They won't listen. You tell them don't smell the porcupine, and they go and smell them anyway. Luke 8:18, I said that. Luke 8:18. Jesus says, take heed how you listen. Be careful how you listen. James 1:19-20 says what? James 1:19-20. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. I find that when I counsel people as a pastor, as a shepherd, when I listen to them, and they see that I care enough to listen to them, it gets their attention. They say, wow, this man really cares about me. Because so often, we don't care and we don't listen and we show we don't care because we just want to get our point across. I remember reading about this guy couldn't hear. He wanted healing for his deafness. And he finally had the Holy Spirit. He finally prayed about it and got some deliverance and healing, and he could hear. But first he had to confess the sin of when his mother told him, don't jump on the bed. As soon as she left the room, guess what he did? Anybody? He jumped on the bed. And he kept doing that. Until she told him one time, and guess what he did? He says, no! And he... You ever do like that when you were small? Mm-hmm. I don't want to listen. All of a sudden something popped in his ear and he went deaf. Rebellion opened the door for spirits to come into his ear. And he said, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to listen to you. He went deaf. Good news is he confessed that sin. He got deliverance and healing. And that pop happened again and he could hear. So, listen. And someone in authority tells you something, listen, don't rebel. It's for your own for your own good. It's for your own best. Well, I don't understand what he's doing, and I need to understand. No, you don't. You're trusting God to work through your husband. Right, women? When he asks you to do something, just do it. Don't turn into a porcupine. That's what I do with my wife sometimes when, you know, she sometimes responds back. Not a lot. I'll go. She gets the hint. Proverbs 12:15-16. Surprised no one's throwing anything at me yet. Proverbs 12:15-16. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Hello, fool. I asked someone the other day, when are you ever wrong? And you know what they told me? Nothing. They couldn't think of any time. Hello, fool. Curse of the fool is on you. Because a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. You say, well, Pastor John, I've done that. Hey, I've done it too. You know what? I confess it as a sin. I break the curse of the fool. And I get these foolish spirits cast out of me. And suddenly I start acting smarter, wiser. It's that simple, people. It's not really all that hard. Look at the next verse. A fool's vexation is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. A fool's vexation. What does that mean? You ever meet someone like that? Whenever you're around them, you just feel like you're in a state of confusion. You're vexed. You're being vexed. You're being vexed by a fool. And the only thing you can do is just say, excuse me, but I need to take a walk. That's why my legs are so strong. Because I've had a lot. No, I've been the fool. I've had to walk a lot because I've had to tell my wife that, you know, I don't want to say anything, so let me go take a walk and cool down. I'll come back. I've walked all around East Aurora. And maybe you have to, too. Or maybe you need to take a walk when you're talking with a fool as well. It goes both ways because we're all fools. Lesson number four, wise Christians are easily corrected and admit they have blind spots. Fools don't. Did you hear that? Wise Christians are easily corrected and they admit they have blind spots. You know how many accidents my wife has saved me from? I lost count at, you know, 8,500. Now, obviously, hyperbole. But she really has. You know why? Because I have blind spots. She'll say, honey, there's a car in the lane. Don't go there. Don't go in the lane. Oh, okay. You ever done that? Raise your hand if that's happened to you. Yeah. You know why? We have blind spots. You know, you're not God. You don't know everything, and neither do I. That's why I need you and you need me, because we all have blind spots. And you can tell a wise person when a wise person comes up to you and says, can you tell me two things about me that I need to change? Wow, I've never had anybody ask me that. Give me two things that you see in me that I need to change. Hello, wise person. Oh me or oh my? What are we saying? Proverbs 14:16. 14:16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is arrogant, proud, and careless. You know why a wise person turns away from evil? Because he knows there's consequences. And he's cautious. He says, no. I know what's down there. There's a lion at the end of that street, and I've been bit before. No. He's a prowling, roaring, liking, seeking whom he may devour. I listened to one guy on the radio. I liked him as a Bible teacher, very clear, very lucid. But he, man, was he in error in this one. He says, Satan was defanged at the cross, and we don't have to fear him. And I thought, oh, my Lord, So what does 1 Peter 5 say? Prowls around like a roaring, lying, seeking whom he may gum. Hello, I'm Satan. Can I chew on your ear or something? Get away. That's what most Christians think. They think the devil's a fool. Well, the devil is a fool. But he's very powerful. And he can talk us into things that you couldn't begin to comprehend without Jesus. We're no match for him, people. One little word shall fell him, mighty fortress. Remember that? Right? The devil rages and is mad at us and upset with us, but one little word shall fell him. What's that word? Jesus. He remembers him. He can't get it out of his mind. He has nightmares about him. Because he remembers how he defeated him at the cross. Proverbs 15:5, let's run there. Just one more verse. 15:5. A fool rejects his parents' discipline. Hello, fool. I remember I disciplined my son once. I made him in the corner. So he took out a pencil and he wrote, "I hate my dad." And, you know, he didn't erase it. So I went up and a few years later I saw, was that a little pencil writing in the corner? Oh, that must have been when I stood him there. So I've been breaking the curse of the fool over him. Aaron, my younger one. Because when you hate your parents, you ever say that? I hate that man. I'll never talk to him again. He's mean to me. Well, you're a fool. You're rejecting your parents' discipline. Hello, fool. But he who regards reproof is prudent. Can you be corrected easy? By your parents especially? Who care the most about you other than God, if they're good parents? God has placed them in authority for your good, to help you, and to help in life. One more. Oops. How much time? 23. 20 and verse 3. Let's run over to there. 20 and verse 3. Chapter 20 and verse 3. Keeping away from fighting is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Ouch! That hurts. Can anybody else say ouch with me? Ouch! In the sense in the Hebrew is this verse is that a fool jumps into a fight rather than being like a wise, honorable person looking for reasons to avoid a fight. I mean, you ever meet people who are just aching for an argument? Come on! Come on! I can out-talk you. Come on! Come on! Boy, you really want to be around those people, don't you? It's like, oh, no. It used to just be Saturday and Friday and Monday and Tuesday nights at the fight. Now it's Wednesday night at the fight as well. And that verse convicted me because, you know, I've always been a debater. I like to debate people. Mainly I like to intellectually. This is not the church that I planned for my life, by the way. My church was in a university setting. I've already earned my doctorate. I got two masters already, so I've already earned my doctorate. I'm in a university setting, and I can just kind of debate college and university students and have people who are hungry for the Lord and just wanting to be saved, and that's enough. But little did I know what God wanted. Talking about making apple pies. I mean cherry pies. I had all my cherry pies lined up. I had the crust. I bought all the cherries. And all of a sudden, you know, an angel comes down and is right off the counter. I said, "What are you doing? These are my cherry pies. This is what I want." Well, you didn't bother asking heaven. This is not what heaven wants. Heaven likes apple. But I don't like apple that much. Well, we didn't ask you. You're not God. So I finally learned the lesson that don't argue. Don't pick fights. Don't try and debate. Don't always try to fight with people. Someone wants to fight, just say, okay, well, we'll talk about it later. I love you in the Lord. Goodbye. Try that this week with your spouse. It'll make a world of change. I mean, really. I love the words to my Jesus. I love that we sang it last night during the praise time after the deliverance and healing. I love the that first verse, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. And for thee, all the foolishness of sin, I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. It's a great hymn. Sing it often. Remind yourself that there's sin, follies, foolishness. Be a wise person. Let's pray. Father, as we thank you for our time together in the Word, we right now just break the curse of the fool over each of us in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to remind us that whenever we sin in thought, word, or deed, that we need to confess the sin immediately, as soon as possible, and immediately put it under the blood. Ask the Holy Spirit to refill us and break the curse of the fool over us for the foolish choice. Father, thank you that we can be persons of wisdom. We can make wise choices when we make choices that we've learned from and learned the lessons from. And we just thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said would be in us and with us and would replace him when he returned to your right hand. We give you praise and glory. We thank you for Jesus in his mighty name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing.